I joined the union as soon as I joined the railway. I mean, again, at that time, that was 1982. Actually, I think that the railway manager, when you were given your job and started at the training course, we were given union recruitment forms. Was a closed shop or whatever in 1982. I was given my form to join the National Union of Railway Men, which I did, and started going to branch meetings very early on. I mean, that was, again, there were very seldom any women at the meetings, but there were some women who were quite active in, I would say, representing the interests of their members in the carriage cleaning grades in particular. Very, very vocal, strong, well-organised women.
And did the chairman listen to what you had to say?
Yes, yeah. The branch meetings were... It was just interesting. I was really... It was all interesting. It was a new world. It was a different... It was just new. And because of the link, I suppose I was a member of the Labour Party by that time. I also joined the Labour Party when I moved up to Glasgow. And there's quite a close link between the Labour Party and the West of Scotland and the trade unions. So there were structures which, if you wanted to get involved in different structures through the Trades Council or through the Glasgow District Labour Party, you could get involved in those things and quite rapidly get to know people who were involved in political activity as well as being active in the trade union. So you quite quickly got to know people who were in other trade union branches in the west of Scotland or in Glasgow through meeting them at different things and raising different issues. And I was looking at some of the things relating to discussions at a union conference, and we were always the branch of which I was a member at that time, Glasgow Number 6, was quite careful to discuss policy issues before delegates went to any annual conferences of the union. We always gave members notice that things were going to be discussed, and they might not have been huge meetings, but I remember it as a time of having a lot of quite controversial and considered discussions in the workplace and in union meetings, which I think is right and should be respected. And a lot of people put a lot of time into preparing those, you know. So, and people listened to what I had to say. They didn't always agree with me, but that wasn't always to do with being a woman. That was just because.
Did you go to any union conferences or to the Labour Party annual conference?
I never went to the Labour Party annual conference on a union delegation. They were very much, the places were very much sought after. I just was never successful. I used to put my name forward. My branch would put my name forward later on to go on the Labour Party delegation, but it was done by a national ballot and very much contested places. And generally speaking, I would have to look back through the files, but I think you'll find it was nearly always all male delegations. The Labour Party itself changed its rules not a while back to say that every trade union had to have a certain number of women on its delegation, so that would have forced the NUR to change the way it made up its delegations. But when left its own devices early on, that wasn't what the voting in the members chose. Because I was interested in, there weren't any other women at the meeting, is the truth. Quite often there weren't other women who were in a position to go to conferences. I quite quickly began representing the NUR at the TUC National Women's Conference and at the STUC, the Scottish TUC Women's Conferences. They were annual events, and the union, when I first joined, it didn't actually send anybody to the STUC Women's Conference. No women in Scotland had raised through the union a suggestion that they should be represented there, that the NUR should be represented there. So I suppose that was a change. We got that agreed, and two women, quite often myself and another woman, but it was done by a ballot of all the members in Scotland. Women would put their names forward, and we would go to that in Perth once a year. But the TUC Women's Conference, again, branches would nominate, and the elections would be held on a regional basis, as far as I remember, so that you didn't end up with like six women from London. It would be a geographically diverse group of women went from the NUR to the TUC Women's Conference, and those were important times important opportunities for me and for all the women on the delegation, because often maybe at your own work you would be the only woman in the job or the only woman at the meeting, and then you would meet up with six or seven other women from different parts of the country, from different jobs in the industry, all active in the NUR, But you would, it was great. There was a quite a network of us built up, and it did mean that you got into a situation where, I don't know, you knew other women guards, but not in Scotland. Maybe you might know them, and they'd be in Brighton or something. Or I knew a number of members of women drivers and guards who worked on London Underground, and you could phone them, and there were, you knew there was somebody out there. If something was a bit of a problem at work, there was somebody else that you could phone. And I think we did have a fairly widespread network of informal support for each other as women in the industry, and that was important. That was useful. We were also able to raise different issues on behalf of the union, because there were procedures for the NUR to submit policy, you know, items for policy discussion at any of these national women's conferences. So we were able to have a discussion first of, again, it would start off in your own branch, so you were discussing it with the men with, that you worked with, about why you thought the issue of sexual harassment at work was a health issue for the women concerned, it was a trade union issue. Quite a lot of times we were maybe saying, why are these trade union issues? You know, there may be things nobody had thought really mattered. Things have changed. I mean, it's now taken as kind of assumed that issues like sexual harassment or even violence against women are trade union issues, and a number of the big trade unions now produce material specifically explaining to both male and female members why the environment in which people work shouldn't be threatening. But in the early 80s, it wasn't quite so straightforward.